everybody. Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning, everyone.
How is everybody? Hello. It is Monday.
It's Monday, and we're going to make it a good Monday. That's what we're going to do. First, let me just show you a 2.5 gram bar of gold. This is what it looks like, you guys. Look at that. Look at how awesome. Clear it is when I get this close. Okay, so this is what you get when you subscribe. It is a subscription service. When you get to getacregold.com/chicks, you are paying per month, $50 a month, $100 a month, $250, whatever. And you just pay as you go and you earn these bars of gold, which is really cool because the neat thing about them is that you can just stack them up right in your safe at home. So you have and own and can touch and feel actual physical gold instead of just having it sort of out in the ether, like in an IRA that you don't really know about. You know what I mean? Like it's just, you can hold it. So that is amazing.
The ether or the cloud, either one. That's right. Just out there. You don't want that at all. You want gold. Like, okay, maybe not gold, but gold.
You want to be able to hold it in your grubby little paws. And I get that because that's how I am too. And that is what you can do when you go to getacregold.com/chicks. You can check out how to get involved with all of that right there.
That's right. And also check us out at chicksontheright.locals.com.
That's right. Okay. So first, let's just get through sort of the sad news about Naomi Judd, because I know a lot of people that are Chicks on the Right followers and conservatives in general who are huge fans of country music. It's not my thing, but I know people loved the Judds. I know they loved that duo and that she was a force and that obviously she and Wynonna created some amazing music together. So it's very, very sad that Naomi Judd has passed away. And I, you know, normally you know how I am. I will snark about Ashley Judd until the cows come home. But obviously I'm not going to do that because that would be mean. And I do have a heart and I feel really sorry for anyone who loses their mama. And so they accepted their induction into the Hall of Fame last night. Ashley and Wynonna still went. They still attended because the Judds were being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame last night. And it was very, very sad. So they were both just a mess, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was really, really sad. The weird thing, and you and I were just talking about this, is that when they released their statement on Saturday, they said that she died due to mental illness. And they didn't say that it was suicide. And so I guess we're just left to assume that. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to surmise what it was, which I mean, you just assume or surmise that it was, in fact, suicide. And we had plans for other things or we thought we were going to do something else for our deep dive this week. But I think we're going to be talking about that more in depth this week about the notion of suicide and then also suicide and how it has affected our country. And like with COVID and everything, suicide is a big issue for this country and we're not talking about it enough.
Well, apparently we're not allowed to say the word anymore.
Right. Right.
But maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know, but I do know that I see, like, if that word is used, it's always along with a trigger warning. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also hear people using different words to say the same thing. So I hear people say, oh, that person unalived herself. Or, you know what I mean? Or took their own life, I know is the more proper, more acceptable way to say that. I don't know when it changed that we became like it was disallowed. Somehow at some point, somebody made that rule, but apparently you're not allowed to say it. And so now I don't know if that's why the Judd sisters, if it's just too hard for them to say out loud what happened. I don't know. But the whole thing is very odd because now, of course, everyone has all these questions like why did she do this? How did she do this? What even happened? And so will they ever address it? I don't know. Is it our business? Maybe not. It's just all very odd.
And it becomes more about mental illness than it does about the act, which is probably a good thing because it was about mental illness and not the act. But at the same time, it happened, right? If it happened, it happened. And we need to talk about the fact that it happened. And so anyways, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that in this week's deep dive. So you guys should probably stay tuned for that. So yeah, it's just, it's so sad. It's very, very, very sad that happened. And you know what? I I like them. I really like them. I know you're not a country music person, but I listen to a lot of country music here in Texas. And so there's a lot of old country that comes out and they are on the radio a lot here. I really like them. I do.
Well, I have a song. I do have one song of theirs on my phone, my little playlist. I do love their Flies on the Butter song. That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
But I don't know a lot of their other stuff.
And you know what? They were supposed to tour. They were going to tour. They were going to do a very, very short, kind of like I don't want to call it a farewell tour or anything like that, but they were just going to do a tour because Winona was saying that it was all about their fans. They were just going to do a little tiny short. I don't even know how many stops they were going to do, but it wasn't very many. And it was just for a few months and they were going to, you know, see their fans. And I think that's really cool.
I think it was farewell, right? Wasn't it supposed to be a farewell?
I don't think it was going to be something that they were kicking off. Like, we're going to, you know, we're back at it again. But it was just like we're going to do this for our fans because our fans really want to. I mean, my God, I think they did this for, what was it, like 30 something years? They've been at it 38 years, yeah. Something like that. They've been doing this. Yeah. So that's a long freaking time. And yeah, so they were going to do it again. They were supposed to kick it off. Wasn't it like just in the next couple months they were supposed to be doing that?
I think this fall. Yeah.
Was it this fall? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And listen, as much as I loathe Ashley Judd, I got totally weepy when I saw her and Winona, you know, paying tribute to their mom at the induction ceremony last night. It was so, so heartbreaking. Because I mean, you know, that's their mom. Like it's, and right. I'm sure it was totally unexpected and just such a horrible, horrible shock. And so, you know, it's awful all the way around. And I feel for everybody who just loved, loved, loved them, because I know a lot of people love, love, love them. So anyway, that was awful. Yeah. Okay. Also, the other thing that happened this weekend, of course, was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And the White House Correspondents' Dinner was, as you might expect, it was emceed by Trevor Noah, who I cannot stand. I will say he had a couple of good little one-liners. The weird thing is that when he was like saying, you know, ever since the election of Joe Biden, everything is looking up. Gas prices are up. Food is up. All these things, like the price of everything is up. And it was a joke. But the extent to which Joe Biden laughed is now something people are talking about, because they're like, he's basically making fun of how hard he has made everything for everybody. And so I think politicians are in a no-win situation, because if they go and they laugh at themselves being roasted, then they get this, right? Like they get people criticizing them for laughing and making light of people having a real struggle right now. So I think it was really smart of Trump to never go. Because what is the point? What is the point of going?
Plus, I mean, plus it's a nerd prom. It's just stupid. Like if you watch, the whole James Corden bit, I don't know if any of you saw the James Corden bit, it was excruciatingly painful to watch. Like, you're just like, why are these people doing this? And it was just, it's one of those things where it's kind of like when I don't know, I think I wrote a post. Yeah, I wrote a post about it last week, the Met Gala. It's the Met Gala, like their whole theme is like glitz and glamour or some stupid crap like that, where they're all like, you know, out there eating these fancy dinners and everything. And it's so tone deaf of the rest of the country. I even think the White House Correspondents' Dinner is tone deaf of the rest of the country right now. Like they're all sitting there eating like fancy dinner in this ballroom. And I'm thinking, I don't know, I just think it's very tone deaf of what we're all going through right now, which is we're all kind of hunkering down. We're watching our pennies. We're trying to, and they're all just like oblivious to the fact that, you know, it's, the country is in shambles. It's like, you're doing a piss poor job. But I mean, they made fun of it a little bit, but it's like, seriously, like you suck. Like everything is in disarray. Everything. There's not one thing that this guy is doing right. And yet they're all sort of like, you know, patting themselves on the back, having this fancy dinner. And part of it, such a huge part of it, the reason that this guy is in office is because of the people in that room. It's because of the press. It's because they do such a piss poor job doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is reporting the actual news, which they don't do. And so I just, you know?
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. It was everything that you just said and then some. And I don't, you know, I could have gathered a bunch of clips, I suppose, to show. I only grabbed one, and I grabbed it for a specific reason. I'm not even going to play the whole thing. I just want you to hear a little bit of the beginning of Trevor Noah's bit about Governor Ron DeSantis. Look at this.
Favorites, Ron DeSantis is here. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I'm actually surprised that he found the time. You know, he's been so busy trying to outmaneuver Trump for 2024. I see you, Ron. I see you, Flair. Yeah, I've seen what you've been doing. Blaming Trump for the lockdowns, distancing yourself from the vaccines that Trump created with his own two hands. Nobody knew how to make vaccines until I made them. Beautiful, beautiful vaccines. Nobody knew how. Not even Fauci.
But Ron. Ron is playing it coy, man. He won't even tell people if he got the booster, yeah?
So he's pointing at Ron DeSantis and saying, I see you, Ron DeSantis. And then somebody on Twitter posted the seating chart of like who sat at what table. And Ron right. DeSantis was listed on the seating chart. And Christina Pushaw responded to it and just said, LOL, he wasn't there. Why would he go to that?
Right. I know. Why would Ron DeSantis go to a nerd prom? He's not a nerd.
He's so not gonna go. I don't know who he was pointing to. I don't know who he was like, I see you. No, you don't. You don't because he wasn't there. Hello.
He's not there. Right. I mean, God, this guy, I swear. Yeah. And I mean, talking about the back, and not only that, but he's making fun of him for saying he doesn't tell anybody if he's been boosted or if he's been vaccinated. It's none of anybody's damn business.
Right.
What is their obsession with that? What is that? The left, you know, liberals are so obsessed with, have you been vaccinated? Are you going to put the little circle around your face? Are you going to tell people? Like, what is that? Shut up. It's none of your business.
I know. I will not comply.
Just shut up. Leave me alone. God, you people are freaks.
Well, and Trevor Noah joked about that. That was one of his jokes is like, what are we all doing here? This is freaking crazy. Even Fauci wouldn't come. Because this is too much of a super spreader. And then he shifted it and he specifically said, all of you, you know better. And like, he's making fun of everybody for being there. I'm like, dude, you're hosting the damn thing. Like, what are you even saying?
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure, and you know what? And I'm sure that afterwards there's going to be a gajillion like after parties where they're all going to be canoodling and hanging out and engaging in super spreaders. That's what they would have called it if it were a bunch of right wingers doing it. I mean, these people are such giant hypocrites. I cannot with them. The rules apply to everybody else, but not to them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Insufferable.
Insufferable indeed. Okay. I wanted to make sure to remind everybody that if you have not gotten your emergency food kit to have on standby from My Patriot Supply, now is the time because they've got $150 off of a 3-month emergency food kit, which I'm telling you, as a person who is not a prepper in any way, the minute I got my emergency food kit in the house, in storage, like in my closet, you feel a sense of peace, right? Like you have peace of mind knowing that that one part of a disaster recovery plan taken care of. And it's not just the food kits that you can get at My Patriot Supply. If you go to preparewiththechicks.com, you are going to save $150 off of a 3-month kit, but you can get any number of like disaster recovery items at preparewiththechicks.com. So check them out. Get yourself prepared. I promise you, you're going to have that same peace of mind about it.
And make sure that you guys are checking out our insiders group, our Facebook insiders. They're pretty fantastic people.
Also, there is some juice, some more dirt from that. Those two authors of that book that's out right now about all the hullabaloo from Kamala Harris's office and how bad things suck and like how much she doesn't get along with Biden. That whole book, I don't remember the names of the authors because I'm not going to read this, but there is some like juicy stuff coming out about it. Including, and I didn't realize this about Kamala, I should have, because it makes sense, but she apparently is quite the Barbara Boxer type of character.
Call me ma'am.
Yes. Yes. Total call me ma'am. Look at this. I think this is the right clip.
Harris felt disrespected. Here's one anecdote you have. Harris worried that Biden's staff looked down on her. She fixated on real and perceived snubs in ways the West Wing found tedious. When Harris walked into a room, the White House staff did not stand up the way they did for Biden. The vice president took it as a sign of disrespect. What was astonishing here is apparently there was a meeting about this.
Yes, the chief of staff to Kamala Harris telephoned the West Wing and told a senior advisor in the West Wing to Biden, the VP has noticed this, and she would like folks to stand, staff members to stand when she enters the room. This pulls back the curtain on what this White House is really like. The tensions are deep and they are real between the VP's office and the West Wing. Obviously, the public image is what it is, but this is an ongoing challenge. And what is hovering over all of this, Chuck, is 24.
So clear.
Is Biden going to run again? And if not, is it going to be VP Harris? That is the mood music hanging over the entire Democratic Party right now.
This is who we have as a vice president. She's concerned about this, about people standing up in a room. Meanwhile, she's like, how does this plug-in car work? I don't understand. And then she's like, space. Like this, but she demands the respect of people. So they will stand up when she walks in a room. Could you imagine having that sort of arrogance, that sort of like just empty arrogance for people to stand up for you when you walk in a room and you haven't earned it? Can you imagine?
Well, and then all the crap that you're in charge of has gone to absolute shit.
Right.
And you care about whether or not people stand when you enter a room. Like, get your priorities straight. VP of the entire country.
This is our vice president, you guys. This is who she is. It's so indicative. It's so representative of this entire administration. You know, it's just a giant empty suit.
Yep, that's exactly right. I do have a couple of clips to share from Bill Maher. Bill Maher, of course, when he is good, he is really, really good. Now, I will say I was surprised that in this clip, he admits to having absolutely no idea until basically just now who the Babylon Bee even is. And so what he's talking about in this particular clip is the fact that Babylon Bee was kicked off of Twitter and how wrong he thinks that is. So he's talking about Twitter, the whole Elon Musk thing. Here we go.
Exactly.
Right. But that's not really where the argument is. The argument to me is like, has Twitter failed in setting themselves up in the past as the judge of what can go out there? And I would say, yes, you have. You failed when you threw the New York Post off of Twitter for talking about Hunter Biden's emails, and it turned out that was a real story.
Right.
You failed when you said we couldn't read about whether COVID had come from a lab. You failed. Did you read about this Babylon Bee? Do you know what the Babylon Bee is? I didn't know this.
No.
It's like the Christian version of The Onion.
Because everyone needs that.
Well, some people do.
I thought that was
Fox News.
They're
not all you and me, okay? It says your trusted source for Christian news and satire. I didn't know there was such a thing as Christian satire. I thought the religion itself was satire. That's me. I'm not everybody, okay? I'm not everybody. Have a little humility, right? So listen to this. They got flagged they posted a funny video. This is funny to them, okay? Sensitive content, Twitter said. In the video, they were making fun of Twitter for being too sensitive. This is so through the looking glass. And here's what happens in the video. This woman who going into the Twitter building, this is, you know, parody. This is what people do on television and have done forever. Okay, she's complaining to HR about how sensitive Twitter is. And the guy shows her an ink blot, and she keeps seeing Hitler in all the ink blots. Okay, then she runs screaming out of the building because this is well within what satire has always been. And the fact that they flagged this for being insensitive shows their complete lack of self-awareness about what their own problem is. If that's where the line is, you have failed, Twitter. You do need a new show.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah, good for him is right. He's literally like the one sane, like actual liberal left in the world. I'm convinced of it. He is. I mean, listen, I don't know if I agree with him personally, like on anything, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm like, okay. I mean, I feel like he's such a dying breed, you know? Don't you think?
The classic liberal. Yeah, for sure.
Right. They don't exist anymore. They just don't. And that makes me sad because now it's just a bunch of commie whack jobs. You know, it's a bunch of socialist commie whack jobs who are out there. And I think he knows that too. I think he knows it.
And you know who dragged everybody to the left is you, Bernie.
What do you gotta? But what are you? You whore. You're such a dirty whore. With your whore shorts, your stupid whore shorts. Such a whore.
You're right though. You're right. He did. He and AOC with the young people, with all the youth. You know, they pull them all to the left. And God, it's like, you know, Bill Maher's just probably, he's just over there shaking his head going, what happened in 20 years, you know? Because you're right. It used to be, and I've heard him talk about this because I've watched a couple podcasts with him in it. It used to be that you could sit down with the Bill Maher as a right winger and talk like right. a normal human being. The two of you could sit down and talk, and you know, like as a Christian, I could talk to him and I could be like, listen, whatever. I mean, fine, you're not a Christian. You can make fun of me for being a Christian. We could talk to each other and have a normal conversation like normal people and agree to disagree and still be friends, you know? But now you just can't do that with people. And that I think is ultimately like that's what makes me the most sad is that we can't do that with each other anymore because they're commie whack jobs.
Speaking of commie whack jobs, which is what the New York Times is essentially calling Tucker Carlson, the expose that they tried to do on him. Oh my God. I have to say, it is the slickest, because I looked at the whole piece on my phone and they have this like really cool thing where they show here all these yellow dots represent the times that Tucker did this or that he talked about that. And there's like this almost app feel to the way that they did part of the story. So it was this gigantic three-part like expose on Tucker Carlson, which did nothing. It did nothing except just say, Tucker Carlson keeps talking about these issues, you guys. And yeah, he does. But they don't actually meaningfully refute any of the things or any of the points that Tucker makes. It was extraordinary. It was like, I think what I said about it was, this is the slickest, most well put together pile of garbage I've ever seen the New York Times do. Like, it was amazing.
It's almost as if it's the slickest. Wah! That's what it is.
Right. And did you see the picture of him? Like, he tweeted out a picture of himself holding the hard copy of the New York Times with his face on it.
I didn't. Did they try to call him a commie? Because please tell me they didn't try to call him a commie.
They call him a white nationalist, a white supremacist, essentially. Oh, he's basically the leader of the white supremacists.
Okay. The New York Times is just such a rag. It just is. It's just the worst. Remember when they used to be somewhat respected and respectable? Do you remember? Remember? Like back when were kids?
They were the best, man. They were the gold standard.
God, and now it's just this heaping pile of creamy shit. I mean, it's just it's the only way I can describe it. I'm sorry. Hide your kids, hide your wives. But I mean, really, I can't think of a better way to describe it. I can't. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry.
No, totally. Don't be sorry.
Okay.
Last week, we talked a lot about Nina Jankowicz being the new head of the governance. What is it? The Disinformation Governance Board.
She's the Minister of Truth.
And so lots of people are making fun of her singing and like being all Harry Potter weirdo lady, which we have too, because that's a definite angle to make fun of.
She is weird.
She's super weird. But here is a clip, and I'm not sure when this is from, but I think you'll find it. It's very short, but you'll find it very, very interesting. Her thoughts about government getting involved in misinformation was really, really interesting a couple of years ago. Listen.
Thank you very much, Congressman. I totally understand your aversion to the idea that government would fight back against disinformation. In fact, you know, the use of that term has been basically the foundation to some very draconian fake news laws in places like Russia or even Singapore. I do not believe that government should be in that business either.
And okay. Now I just am the head of it, but like,
right.
I didn't think you should be involved at all before. Now I'm actually overlord of it.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Fast forward to today. She's like, I wholeheartedly believe it because they're paying me gobs of money to do it. That's so convenient for you. That's so convenient, Minister of Truth. God. God, these people.
You know who's not going to put up with it, though? And that's Governor Ron DeSantis. Here's what he had to say about the Ministry of Truth.
But clearly, our entire principles that the country was founded on, you cannot have a ministry of truth in this country. And so let's get real here. Let's make sure that we're doing things to benefit Floridians and Americans, but we're not going to let Biden get away with this one. So we'll be fighting back.
I need something to put them in. I need a bucket or something. I need a wheelbarrow. I need something to put the giant balls in, you
like
guys.
You need a semi is what you need.
I need a dump truck. I need two dump trucks, one for each. I need two giant dump trucks. And they have to back up. They're like, boop, boop, boop. They have to back up. And then he has to get in there and like put each one of them in and separate them somehow and put them in. And then boop, boop. That's what it is. Right. That's what happened.
For real.
Uh-huh. They're so giant.
I just love him. I mean, he's always out. He's just out in front of every freaking issue. Every single one.
There's no reactivity. It's proactivity. Right.
Yep.
Suck it, Minister of Truth. Suck it. America.
Suck these.
Suck it. Uh-huh.
You guys, I don't know if you saw, Mike Lindell tried to get back onto Twitter yesterday, and he was on there for 4 hours before his account was suspended again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I don't understand how that happened.
Well, you know, it's not like Elon has taken over everything and now controls like how it all works just yet. Like, I think there's been some changes, but he's not actually an operational, he's not affecting the operations of it just yet because official changes haven't been made other than the fact mm-hmm. that he's the owner. So it's going to take some time. I think what happened in this case is that there were so many fake accounts that got started for Mike Lindell that by the time he actually started one, they were all getting suspended for being fakes. And then his was just like on the list of fake ones. But anyway, okay. He's very upset, very, very mad at Twitter, talking a lot about it. And this is a good time to remind everybody that if you would like to support Mike Lindell, you know how to do it. And that is by going to mypillow.com/chicks. There is a buy one, get one extravaganza-thon happening right now. Buy one, get one on like so many of your favorite things, the sheets, the towels, the pillows, the roll, what do they call them? The roll away and go pillows, something like that. There's all their products. There's so many products that are buy one, get one. And if you go to mypillow.com/chicks, you'll see the list of all the things and you get a free copy of his book with your order. So like now is the time, you guys, buy all your stuff, stock up. Cause it is,
all
there's some
the
good
things.
Sales points.
All
for real.
Things. Yeah. Okay. I will not comply. I won't do
Yay.
It. Not going to do it. You guys bring it in. Yay. Everybody bring it in. Bring it in. You guys, we hope you have a really, really great Monday, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
We need to talk about our friends at Acre Gold really quickly because we like doing it. It's just a nice way to hedge against inflation and kind of build your portfolio and have some diversity in it. All you have to do is visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing right away. And if you tweet or post at @get_acre, you have a chance to win a free gold bar. All you have to do is just say, here's why I should be the winner. And then you very well may be the winner. So it's getacregold.com/chicks.
Elon Musk buys Twitter and the left is freaking out. I'm Sarah Carter on the latest Sarah Carter Show. I'll tell you why this is really important news and why there's so much hysteria over expanding free speech. I'll also be joined by former Border Patrol agent Gary Brugman to discuss the tragic death of Texas National Guardsman Bishop Evans in the Rio Grande while trying to save lives. Don't miss it. Follow the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.